it.
Get the dribble on.
Who is this man?
No hands. Side of 436. Yes.
What in the fresh hell?
What in... what is happening?
That is a very high dex... That's what a 20 in dex looks like, my guys. There he goes.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, January 6th. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory. Alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, Tassie? We got our Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo!
The International Man of Mystery, taking it to the Max Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Certainly not least, over yonder, making the magic happen, it's super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. No restarts this morning, boys.
Well, don't jinx it.
I want to jinx it. I want to. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Subscribe, like, comment. Please share the show. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. You can follow us across all social media channels. What's your favorite social media channel, Tass?
My favorite social media channel. I'd say it's theathletic.com.
What?
What? Is it a social media channel? Well,
ours.
Oh, what do you mean? Oh, ours.
Yeah. Well, like, are you an Instagram guy, a Twitter guy, a Facebook guy, a TikTok guy?
None. I'm saying theathletic.com is my favorite social media channel right. Because of the interaction. It is so interactive on theathletic.com. People are there for so many minutes.
Yep.
It's like a social media channel.
Okay,
it's not a media company channel. It's a social media channel.
Well, you can follow us at No Dunks Inc. INC. Also, and I'm happy to see Trey rocking a customized version of the No Dunks hoodie, go to nodunks.com.
There it is.
To grab, again, not the tie-dyed version, because you like did a deal, I remember, with a No Dunks fan to get that, didn't you know?
Yeah, a fellow by the name of Ethan Kirby.
Mm. Oh,
K-I-R-B-Y. Wow. We swapped sweatshirts. He's got my paint-covered Atlanta Hawks one somewhere up in Canada. So we had the discussion yesterday, like, are you going to wear a No Dunks shirt to the No Dunks Classic Factory? Everybody said, yeah, you got to do it, Skeets.
Yeah.
You're wearing one, and not only do I have this one on, I've also got my second layer. Oh, wait, I forgot. I thought I wore a Top Shot Hot Boy shirt. Turns out it was the Grateful Dead. My bad.
You just wanted to show that off.
No, I completely forgot what shirt I was wearing. Yeah.
I'm surprised you're wearing an undershirt. I thought you did Scumbag Steve stuff.
I don't know if you heard, but can get a little cold here in the game.
I got tasked for the second day's wearing a t-shirt. This guy.
Yeah, I'm feeling it, man. I'm feeling the cold.
All right, go to nodunks.com, get all of your hoodies and your t-shirts and your shorts and your mugs and stuff like that, and treat yourself to an Athletic subscription. It's a website / social media channel that Tass was talking about. You can get a nice deal right now. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. And final thing here, in case you missed it, we had a brand new Poppin' Packs yesterday. Yeah, that's right. Returned to your feeds, both on YouTube. You can watch us pop those packs and show off those cards, and you can play along, guess the players with us, and we also flip that into a podcast as well, so it's in your podcast feed.
It was a lot of fun, I thought, yesterday, you know? Everyone getting involved as well. It wasn't just
Do you
me.
Like that? Do you like switching it up
for sure.
So not just you with your hints?
Yeah, I mean,
this is a man that everybody loves.
You know this man. Yeah.
I bet Alex Trebek a couple of times wished he could have gone the other side and been a contestant.
Wow, he never did that.
Not that I know. You guys know the show way better than I do, but...
I can't recall him, Trebek, ever, you know, standing behind the podium. And
no, he's a man. He was a man of integrity, you know? He wouldn't go, go to the other side.
That would be unfair, he would dominate.
Do you think he would dominate?
I don't know if he would dominate, but I think maybe just people would like to see how he would do in that role, you know? So,
I would have loved it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a little shocking that never happened. Mm. Anyway, Poppin' Packs is in your YouTube feeds and your podcast feeds. It's like an hour 15 of... four guys opening up old pack of basketball cards and talking about old players, if that's your sort of thing.
I mean, Lee's old school way was to get on a guest, a former player.
Yeah.
And so, yes, this is the new school way of us four doing it. But while we were doing it, he was also thinking, hey, that guy... Put in a word for that guy. I want him back. Who did you ask for yesterday? There was somebody.
Otis Thorpe, you want to get in touch with?
I want to get in touch with Otis Thorpe. He's the big one.
Yeah. There was another player.
Well, I said, get Rolando Blackman. I tried. If you saw the DMs I've sent, the messages I've sent, I've put a few out there.
Right.
And I've got a few like, yeah, I'll do it, and then they ghost.
Yeah.
Chuck Person, I think it was, who we want to get back on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you deleted his number, you said.
I did. But someone must know
we'll
it out
somebody.
There.
We'll get somebody.
All right. Yeah. So check out Poppin' Packs. Okay, we got tons to talk about here on today's No Dunks. We'll get to a lot of the games, but let's start with Dirk, because Dirk Nowitzki had his number 41 jersey retired by the Mavs following the team's 99-82 victory over the Warriors, and we can get into that game a little bit if you want to. Dirk becomes just the fourth player in franchise history to have his jersey retired, joining, I'm going to put you on the spot,
Brad Davis, Rolando Blackman, and
he's on the call.
Number 12.
Derek Harper.
Yes, Derek Harper, number 12. Brad Davis, number 15. And Rolando Blackman, number 22. During the ceremony, Mavs owner Mark Cuban announced that a statue will be built outside of the arena and all future Mavs arenas.
And the next one.
Yeah.
And the next one.
He really wanted to point that out. To honor the German, obviously. And I think we have a photo of it for everybody joining us on the stream team. We can talk about the ceremony in general, but specifically, Trey, the statue. What do you think?
What?
Are you a fan of anal beads?
Yes. Honestly, yes. Hey, let your freak flag fly, guys, gals, whoever. Doesn't matter. This is a great statue. The three balls at the top, it looks unusual.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of showing the path of the ball. I don't know if there's a better way to do it. You do like to get Dirk's cool arcing shot, no doubt about it. And the pose is obviously iconic. But, I mean, if you put three balls connected by a little tether, you're getting some anal bead comments. There's no way around it.
I agree. It's very unique. We always just see one ball in his statue if you ever see one. Is this their way of doing a focus group? Like, throw it out there, and now everybody on the internet is throwing in their comments, and maybe they'll change the actual statue?
I think that's a brilliant idea, if that is their move. Like, here's the miniature version. See what the feedback is. And then, you're saying, maybe tweak it. Like, maybe the official giant one will just be one ball. I actually think it should be. I don't think you need all three balls there.
Yeah. Would you go with the top ball, or would you go with the first ball that's sitting on his fingers?
I think the one that he's shooting it. Because, just, you got it's just the perfect lean back, the fadeaway there. He's the Dirk driveway dad shot. Lee, what would you do, or what do you think?
Yeah, definitely the one in the hand, because it would be weird if he was sort of had his hand back cocked like that, but the ball was like 3 feet in front of him. But you could put some sort of hoop off in the distance as well, maybe make it a longer statue like that. But I think Mark Cuban honestly knew he was going to get lit up for this one, because he even said, the budget was a bit small.
It's a joke, obviously.
Yeah, I know, but... What is this,
a statue for ants?
it's bad. It's bad, but it's good bad. You know what I mean? Like... You remember when Cristiano...
What do you mean? What's bad?
It just looks crappy. It looks crappy.
I mean, I think it does.
No, I think it does.
I think actually did a really... Cuban did a weird, like, setup of it all. Like, he almost didn't explain it all that well.
Yeah.
And then was making jokes about, like, obviously this will be a real statue. It'll be bigger than this. But... I don't know. I don't think it was.
It's like the Ronaldo one that came out that looked nothing like him, and then they had to change it and get it made better.
Come on, you don't think that looks like Dirk? It's not that bad.
I mean, I think you could have done a better job. That's what I think. I mean, I like the long, wavy, crazy hair that he rocked there for a lot of it, but it just looks weird.
I think maybe when it's in its real form, it won't look like anal beads, because those would be large anal beads.
True.
You look at that third ball. That's not like a thread. That looks like it's purposefully like a big sort of connector. You know, when it's actual life size, I don't know. I've never seen anal beads that big, so I'm
right,
not sure.
Right,
maybe they exist. I don't know.
They exist. That'd be really cool. And Cuban's like, you know, in the tech game,
yes,
and the NFT world and all that. Like, why not make the ball somehow like holographic or something like that? Like, have the statue, Trey. Hear me out.
No.
Why?
No,
and then have a light sort of show, I don't know.
No. I will say I was surprised there wasn't a hologram, period, last night. Seemed like a great time for a hologram, considering the extravagant nature of the jersey retirement.
Yeah.
But as the stream team is mentioning, keep the ball in his hand.
you know what he's doing. He's shooting it. Yeah. You know what's going to happen.
He's not passing.
Just do it like any other shot out there. So, I mean, if they were going to add a hologram, last night was the time to do it. Okay. Replay us one of Dirk's classic moments or something like that.
Bring in Rick Carlisle as a hologram because he was unable to be there. Just Ricky showing
up. Well, what did you think? Did you watch the entirety of this thing? It was like, it was like 50 minutes. Yeah, it was like Nora at some point, she was in the other room and came back and was like, what are you doing? What are you watching? And Dirk was still going on. Yeah. And she also pointed out, he's got a voice that can put you to sleep. Mm. I was like he, you know, he's got that, the way he talks, like his cadence, it does, it's like a
bit of a didgeridoo.
A bit of a lullaby, but anyway, it was long. Did you watch the whole thing like I did? Or
No,
you caught this morning?
Yeah, I was a clipper man in this one. Yeah, I caught the clips. Dirk is special, obviously. Yeah. I know we throw around those words all the time, the superlatives. Hey, this guy's special. He did something that so many guys are trying to do. The one team guy who wins a championship, Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard, are trying to do it. There aren't many that have done it in the modern era. Mm-hmm. And nobody did what Dirk did, hitting a shot with at 20 years old and then 40 years old with the same team. Joe Johnson doesn't count. The guy did a lot in his 20s and 30s. Makes me look back and wonder what the heck I did with my 20s and 30s.
I'll tell you.
Right
this.
Here. Yeah.
Podcast. Get a statue of Tassie out the front.
Yeah.
But he is one of a kind. That you bring up his voice and how it puts you to sleep. I you know, selfishly think of the moments whenever I talk to him. And when we're at All-Star Weekend, before they put the guys on the pedestals and gave them some actual room to talk to reporters, we were able to get right up in their grill. Yeah. Like, he was eating voice recorders. I remember him. They were like within 3 inches of his face, and he didn't budge. He didn't flinch, I remember. And he would just sit there in the exact same laid-back pose, and it was laid back on those folding chairs, you know, as far back as possible, and answer our questions about, hey, what would you do if you weren't a basketball player? I'd be a painter. My family was a painting family, and I'm really tall, and I could reach the roof without needing a ladder. You know, really good answers like that. And just
alpine skiing. Was
alpine skiing.
Yeah, that's right.
If he was in the Winter Olympics, what event would you partake in? Alpine skiing.
We might have to drop that as a classic somewhere. Clip because I think the Winter Olympics are like a month away. So maybe
that's
we'll
right.
Timing
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
I love all the dad jokes as well. That was a pure dad joke from Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
With the budget too small.
Yeah, yeah.
The Jason Kidd. Hey, we're giving away 10 days.
Yep.
You want to come in, Dirk?
That was good.
Yeah, I like, and just the respect, like Caron Butler is an assistant coach on the Miami Heat right now. They had a game last night, but he flew in, didn't need to work because he needed to be with Dirk, a guy who led in a different way. You know, he led number one by example, and number two, just by working hard and not being a showboater. You know, he's never really talked about himself, and he just got the job done over 20 years. He's just a unique guy.
What did you think of the whole ceremony?
Yeah, it was fun. It was well done. I thought those tend to be long, but I thought the speeches, for the most part, apart from Dirk, people got up, said their bit, and went down. But Dirk is one of the rare guys who honestly is, and someone tweeted this to us yesterday. I mean, is there anyone who's more universally just loved than Dirk Nowitzki? I mean,
it's a very, very short list.
It is. I responded with Clay because I think Clay is one of those guys. But Dirk sort of is, because he is that super elite superstar, and he got the fairy tale there in Dallas. He got the MVP. He finally got over the hump and won that championship. Because if they don't win it in 2011, does Dirk finish his entire career with one team?
That's what I saw Ziller writing in his newsletter this morning. Like, for especially young people that maybe weren't there watching Dirk before the title, like, it was all like, this guy can't do it, doesn't have it, he'll never get there. You know, every flame out in the playoffs that would come up time and time again. And I think the answer is probably no, right?
I think so, too. At some point,
they
say, go and chase a championship somewhere else.
And does he get the statue? Because Mark Cuban Mark Cuban implied, he said, we're not doing this because you won a championship.
Yeah.
Got to call Bull Pucky. Yeah. I don't think he gets it.
Right.
Come on, you've seen the Brad Davis statue out there.
Yeah, but that's the thing with Dirk. I mean, you know, because he had the 2006, they were 6 minutes away from going three up on the Heat. And then, of course, 2007, when they were the number one seed and they get upset by the Warriors. So it was like the big European, sure, is an MVP, but he can't do it in the playoffs. Yeah. And then to do it against the Heat, and they were down 2-1 in that series, to sort of reverse what happened in 2006 and was all Dirk, largely him. He'd got all the credit and all the flowers, and I think at the end everyone's really happy to see him achieve all those things. The one team, the MVP, and the championship, all with Dallas.
Yeah. Highly recommend you at least go watch the clips from this one. I thought it was cool, too, not putting the banner, his jersey number, like all the way up to the rafters, like in the spot where it's ultimately going to end. It sort of just like hovered in the middle for all to see. Better shots, better photographs. It's good thinking, I think.
Yeah, if you're doing it for the photographs, it definitely worked out. But just iron these things.
That's the thing. True.
Like, it's wrinkly every single time. If you go for the raise it from the floor, the other way to do it is like the Zach Randolph where you drop it, the cloth off the thing that's already on the wall. Neither is really a perfect choice. I did like the way some of the shots looked like when they showed the trophy, and then you can see the
cool
banner in the background. That looked awesome. And speaking of dad jokes, the best one for me was when Dirk said, "My father-in-law is here today. What I appreciate most about you is your daughter." That was so good.
Home run.
So good.
Go check the clips. Anything else about the ceremony or Dirk's?
It's always fun just watching the kids because, you know, how much do they really understand of what's happening and what that night means? And
I'm always amazed that they can sit there long. I mean, you guys have kids. Yeah. Like, to keep them in a chair.
I liked when you heard him at the end. He's like, "Morris, look what you did. Yeah. You got it to go up."
I don't know which one it was, but one of them just yawning away there as dad's giving his speech. And you can just see they're just like, what's going on? Why are we doing this, dad? But so it was great. Well done, Mavericks.
I was thankful of the NBA, I guess the Mavericks, for starting this Dallas game earlier than they normally would. Because I remember like a day or two before going like, oh, wait, they're going to do it after the game. And I'm immediately like, oh, my God, that means it's not going to be until super late. I wanted to watch it live. But they bumped it up. I mean, that was a pretty early start there in Dallas.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I do like the fact, it's early, good for the kids as well, Dirk's kids. Sure. And I do like the fact that the banner is on the floor level for the kids because they are, while Dirk was raising it, or while they're raising it right in front of Dirk and his family, you can see Dirk telling his kids what was going on. It's right there in front of them. So it's better for the children to see that. And I don't know what happened. You talked about the banner not being ironed. Mark Cuban's shirt, also. Wow. Not ironed.
I mean, like, less to dress for the occasion. Hey. Oh, no! Hey. Okay.
That's last
It's done, Bill.
Yeah, I'm going to freaking
be a floor display, I think.
Sorry, for those listening, the poster fell again.
Yeah, I thought that would last an hour.
Okay, the Velcro is not working.
Anyway.
Yes. Yeah, but Mark Cuban seemed to have jeans, sneakers, and that T-shirt on last night, and that was it for it. You know?
Yeah, no.
Didn't put on a suit, I thought. Unusual, but then again...
But he never does.
Well, he does in Shark Tank, but he doesn't wear a tie.
That's true.
Good point. Way to throw that right back in my face. Yeah. He does wear a suit on Shark Tank.
Well, I bet there was a bit of a fight over it. I bet he wouldn't choose to wear one, but...
you think they made him?
I think so. ABC, they're like, put on a suit.
Yeah, because it's like you have to look rich on the show, I guess.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
But he would stand out. He would stand out.
We got to find out from Cuban. Did they make you wear a suit on Shark Tank?
That's interesting.
I think you're probably right.
I think so.
Dirk looked good in his suit, though.
He looked great.
Oh, he looked fantastic.
He looked good.
He looked sharp.
He could still play.
Yeah.
For sure. As for the game, Luka led the Mavs, 26 points, 7 boards, 8 assists. Dorian Finney-Smith, good Gord almighty. 17 points, 4 threes, very nice. And then Jalen Brunson scored 15. He has now scored in double figures in 19 consecutive games, I read. So, good win, quality win here from the Mavericks on Dirk's night. But sort of the story from this one, in terms of the game passes, Steph Curry... struggling for a second game in a row, and now the Warriors are saying he's got like a quad contusion. He may not play tonight against the Pelicans, but yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, seeing Steph off and almost having a wedgie there was very, very strange.
Like right at the rim?
Yeah. You know, it was that sort of mid-range-ish floater for him where he would bank at home usually. But yeah, he went in between the rim and the backboard. Steph is off. His last two games, he's very off. It's really interesting to hear him and Steve Kerr talk about his misses. He had 4 misses, and Steve said that were the exact same way. They sort of rimmed out. They were half an inch short front rim, then they hit the back rim, and then they popped out 4 exactly the same way because you know they're obviously so specialized, and they know that just Steph is a little off, and then next game, that half inch is not going to be there. Whether or not it's tonight because he has that thigh contusion, doesn't seem like it. Seems like he's going to take a game off, and he probably should. And I thought with Clay coming back, that there would be some games where Steph takes some time off, because why the heck not?
Yeah.
why drill him into the ground?
Curry, just to get the numbers out there for everybody, 8 of 41 over his last two games. That is sub 20%, his worst field goal percentage over a two-game span in his career, according to ESPN Stats and Info. And he's only scored 23 points and missed a hell of a lot of three-pointers. He's only hit 2 out of 19.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, 2 for 19 for Steph is basically unheard of. But I thought Dallas, for a team that I haven't been super impressed with this season, played one of their more tougher games. They grinded there. It wasn't a smooth victory. And Luka picked up, almost looked like a hamstring injury very early into the game. Fought through that, and then he picked up an ankle or something.
Yeah, he says he's okay.
Yeah, he says he's okay. So credit to him for fighting through that. But yeah, and there was no excuses there for the Warriors. Draymond played, Wiggins played. They had their, you know, basically their full squad, and their offense was one of the worst it's looked all season. So very, very good win. An important win that they get that win on that Dirk retirement night, because you don't want a Paul Pierce situation where LeBron comes in, punks the team.
Yeah, some people saying that on Twitter. Yeah. I totally had forgotten about that. But like, yeah, the concern of playing the Warriors.
Yeah, they smoke you by 30.
Yeah,
that would
and
be
like, you know, Curry has a monster night
or
something
like
that.
Yeah, especially because of the Warriors, you know, the history with Dirk there as well. But didn't work out that way. Well done, Dallas.
Yeah. Any notes from Warriors Mavs in terms of the game itself?
I just can't believe Steph Curry sucks now. That's wild, man. He got to 3,000 career threes and decided to be a piece of shit. I mean, it's crazy, though, to look at Steph's stats for the season. He's not close to 50-40-90. He's barely at 40-40-80, 42 from the field, 38 from three, obviously 91 from the free throw line, which just means he's going to make a whole bunch of threes in the second half of the season, so watch out for that. But also, Jordan Poole, we talked about him big time after his 32-point performance, 6 points on 3 of 8 shooting. Teams are getting really, really bold with doubling Steph Curry. Certainly the Mavericks were last night. Not only is the best defender guarding him, they're doing everything to get the ball out of his hands, and he's not able to find a rhythm. Somebody else has to do something offensively. Poole was not able to. He's a really upsy-downsy kind of guy. Mm-hmm. It was down last night, but I would imagine Steph gets it back over the course of the rest of the season. Klay is coming back, but you know, Steph's still the guy that stirs their drink, so he's still got to be special for them to get wins.
Would you bet on Steph Curry over, let me say, the next 5 games he plays in? Would you bet that he scores 50 in one of the games?
No. Okay. No, because he's off right now. And also, he banged that knee with Kleber, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And he was sort of running that off. So last night, I think he was playing with something, but I don't quite see a 50 point. Okay. I think he does have a little something right now. Like he's got an injury.
I hope he plays in Klay's return. Like you said, Tass, like Sunday. He maybe doesn't play tonight. Okay, that's fine. You're playing the Pelicans too. Maybe they bounce back to get the victory anyway. But like, I don't want Klay to come back and then you have Curry like out of the lineup, stuff like that. It just suck. I mean, the Warriors would probably be fine, I guess, but as an NBA fan, we want to see this team sort of full squad and how dangerous they could be.
Totally. And I think Steph wants to be there, too. I think Draymond Green wants to be there, too. I think they're very, 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 very pumped to see Klay back on their floor. It is interesting with Steph how we talked about him possibly breaking the single game record to be able to break his total record for threes in the NBA back then. And now we talk about him, maybe he can score 50 next week. Like we know that the impossible is possible with this dude.
Yeah.
And Anthony Slater on The Athletic wrote, as Trey went through, his percentages down to 38.8. Last year, he came back after he was injured, hit that tailbone, came back and had a run of 15 games where he was, you know, nearly 50% from three on his next 200 shots. And if he were to do that, he'd bounce back up to like 41% over three. So you know what's happening. You know, if Steve and Steph, Kerr and Curry are saying, Steve and Steph Kerr and Curry. I never really thought of their really close names. Both
I think about it all the time because my dad's name is Steve Kirby.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. If they're sort of.
Is he a shooter?
Nah. No. He likes to shoot a pull up three like Steph Curry does, but percentages aren't there.
I mean, he's old school. He's probably mid range in.
Yeah, exactly right. For him, it's like a special treat to take a pull-up three.
But what would you say your dad's best basketball skill is? Is it passing? Is it defense? Is it shooting? I guess it could
flopping.
Be. Oh, man.
He's a flopper. He's a big
what?
Flopper.
Wow.
Big flopper-dopper. The man taught me how to take a charge before he taught me how to shoot a hook shot.
Number two is
no
passing.
Wonder you hate defense so much.
Yeah,
scarred. Yeah. Scarred from having to do charge drills.
Yeah, they showed that clip of Dirk and Holger walking on the benches, you know, and they're like taking one step up, one step down. My dad and me used to do that as well, but it was just him throwing his shoulder into me, and I had to flop as much as I could. Sixth grade, I had a referee tell me, "You flop like that again, I'm giving you a technical." Sixth grade. Flopped in the second half, though.
got the call.
Yeah, we're going the other way.
Amazing. Wow. Sorry.
Nothing to say. He can go off like that. Steph can go off like that, too. And if Steve and Steve and Trey are in that are in lockstep like that, where they know that he's that close, like maybe one game off, but he can just go off. Yeah. He'll be back.
All right, let's keep it going here. Nets point guard Kyrie Irving started last night's game against the Pacers. He scored 22 points in his season debut. They got the 129-121 victory there for Brooklyn. Lance Stevenson nearly stole the show. We'll get to Born Ready, I'm sure. Kyrie was expected to play a big chunk of the game. I think that was Steve Nash's quote. And he logged 32 minutes in the debut there. 4 assists, 3 boards, 3 steals. And he hit several clutch baskets sort of down the stretch. So let's start with you, Lee. How would you grade Kyrie's debut?
What sort of system do you want? Like a letter out of 10, out of 5?
Give us the rubric. The full rubric.
From now on, anytime I ask for a grade on something in our show, you can assume it's a letter grade unless I say otherwise. Okay.
I'll give you a B+. I think statistically, he finished much stronger than he started. He was a little bit rusty. They ran the very first play of the game for him. Steve... Nash. Oh my God.
Sorry. Not Kirby.
Sorry. Not Kerr or Kirby or Curry. Said it was a welcome back gift, which is unusual phrasing. Anyway, he missed it. But look, you can see clearly the difference of having another guy out there who can create his own, he can get his own, he can shoot. He allows then Steve Nash to rest Harden or Kevin Durant and still have two stars out there on the floor, because Patty Mills has basically been playing that third scoring role for the Brooklyn Nets this season, and he's been great, but Kyrie is a different level. So he came out, and this was an important win for the Nets. They'd lost 3 in a row. They need it. They were down big. They were down 17, 18 points there late in the third quarter, and they came back, and Kyrie showed he's still got that bag of tricks, that ability to sort of go inside, and like we've seen from Ja Morant, you know, one or two steps, switches hands, gets those layups, and finishes around the rim. So that's really good. So 22 points. Pretty good shooting, 9 for 17. In the end, as I say, started off a little bit slowly, but he found a couple there. Struggled by his standards at the free throw line. But overall, I think if you're the Brooklyn Nets, you can now say, okay, you know, this is what we kind of envision when we have Harden, Durant, and Kyrie Irving together, is three legit all NBA type guys who can go out there and cause so much trouble for the opposing team. Now, it's the Indiana Pacers, so... you know, probably not a bad team to go up against. You know, they weren't very good, and certainly in the backcourt they are diminished right now. So Kyrie got a chance to sort of get back into it. He played 32 minutes, and to be honest, it didn't look like he hadn't played in, he said, 8 months. Yeah. He's obviously been working on his conditioning. So good for him, good for the Nets. Now I just wonder what he's going to do going forward. 4 of the next 6 games are at home, so... for Steve Nash, it's like, great, that was great. Now we have to wait for him to come back and play again because he can't play home games there in Brooklyn. But on the surface, one game in, pretty good news and pretty good, you know, the way it looked for Brooklyn, a whole lot better than their last 3 games where they have really seemed to struggle. Kevin Durant, by the way, had probably the quietest 39 points of his life.
I thought the exact same thing. I watched the majority of this game, and when they said he had 39, I was like,
"Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
I've been watching every single play in this game. I was even 39.
Incredible stuff in 41 minutes. But I think he just felt, you know, and obviously James Harden's an incredible talent as well, but I think Kevin Durant just felt that he didn't have so much on his shoulders there last night, even though he just cruised his way to that 39.
The Nets, when they have all three of these guys... in the 15 games they played together, 12-3, and they have an unbelievable, you know, point differential.
They've played 15 games together.
Yeah, I know.
In a year.
Yeah. 350 crazy, minutes, man. Basically, is what they've played. Okay, Professor Ellis gives it a B+. What about you, Professor Kirby?
What are we grading it off?
I'll give it a B+ as well, because... Brooklyn just looks scary, man. They gave up 101 points in 3 quarters, and it wasn't even... a concern for them in the fourth quarter. The offense looked so easy. For the most part, it was Durant, Harden, and Kyrie with Patty Mills and DeAndre Bembry as the role man. And DeAndre Bembry just had
all of the space in the world in the middle of the lane because there's four legit shooters out there. So he was rolling. They were dishing it to him. He finished. He got 3 for 3 in the fourth quarter. 10 points in the fourth for Kyrie. That's why the Nets are still one of the favorites here. I mean, as long as Kyrie is able to play during the playoffs, and honestly, it's so far away now. Who knows what the mandates are going to be by that time? He says his vaccination status is day-to-day at this point. Is he going to be releasing like a press, like an injury report on his own vaccination status? I don't know, but if he's out there, the Nets can beat anybody, and they can score with anybody. They had to play one quarter to win this game.
Yeah. It seems just like last year when it seemed like they had all three of them. It is ridiculous that they only played 14 games together last year, and they went into the second round against the Milwaukee Bucks as the favorites. But then Kyrie goes down, James Harden goes down, and Kevin Durant nearly nearly gets them to the conference finals. So that's why they are the favorites in Vegas. And yeah, you guys are tough graders. I'd grade this on a curve because Kyrie hasn't played all season. I gotta go A. You know, I gotta go a little higher because he looks so good, even in pregame warmups. Guys, you know, the reporters there, our guys, Varden and Schiffer, were sending in the clips of him just handling the ball and getting into his mid range. And yeah, Bembry's gonna have space, Patty Mills is gonna have space, but also Kyrie's going to have space. You have to guard Durant and you have to guard Harden. So Kyrie's going to be able to get into that mid-range where he is looking so good. Yeah, the first quarter, two shots short on both of them, went to the bench, came back, and then money the rest of the game, especially in that fourth quarter where, like Trey said, they only had to play, really had to play that fourth quarter where they limited the Pacers to 5 makes, and they're 5 of 19 in that fourth quarter. So, yes, this top 10 defense, people think, well, maybe it's a mirage. But I think, like last year, one good quarter and they can win games if they're all there. The whole mandate thing of what the heck is happening with this team is still a question mark. But again, Kyrie never said, I will not get vaccinated. That wasn't part of his IG live that he gave us preseason. It was a different reason for why he sat out. So yeah, they should be the favorites because we've never seen this team full strength in the playoffs, and I can't believe it's only been 15 games. They'd only played, I guess, was it 14 games going into the playoffs last year? Or I guess that's probably counting playoffs.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, I think it was 8 going into the playoffs last year, and they could have beat the Bucks very, very easily in round 2.
I thought you saw his impact in Kyrie's first game in transition too.
Oh yeah,
like that was like the like vintage Kyrie, like, oh crap, like he's going the other way, he's gonna dribble around three guys, and then like you said, that sort of like craftiness at the rim where it feels like he switches hands all the time but can somehow finish, because he had one there, like he struggled early in the game, and then he had one in the second quarter, sort of unlocked him a little bit, and then he had a couple in the fourth quarter that were sort of sealed the deal. Bembry gave them really good minutes too last night, and I think the Nets to be like the championship like contenders, they are because they have the talent, but they need the guys to do the dirty work. They really do.
Sure.
And like Bembry had a couple nice defensive deflections and hit the ground a couple times, and like they just got to get those minutes because you don't need anybody else to score, really.
No.
You just, like you guys said, we need a nice 10-minute window where we just play lockdown defense, and that will win us a ton of games. And so you need to do like, you need to be scrappy for a little bit, and you need some of those guys to fill in the holes.
Yeah, two big problems, though, I still see is interior defense. Yeah. If you go up against Joel Embiid, you know, he should be able to feast inside.
And Giannis.
And that's the other one, Giannis. I mean, those guys can attack the paint, and that's the vulnerability that the Nets have. You can put Kevin Durant there, but he's not a great physical defender against those guys. You don't want him doing that. So that's still a problem the Nets have to address. But, again, if you can put 135 up on the board against anybody, maybe you can overcome that.
Yeah, and last year they got, you know, decent minutes from Blake in the playoffs. They went and signed James Johnson to try and help out on the big guys. And, you know, like good championship teams, the first season, you know, you get your big guys together, your big names together. And then the second year, maybe you get better players around them. Mm-hmm. And so there's still a couple months here for Sean Marks to go get a center, a really capable center. They're trying Nick Claxton. Obviously, DeAndre Jordan did not work, even though he was good friends and probably still is good friends with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And Blake is not part of the rotation. But, yeah, Bembry, Brown, and those guys, James Johnson, LaMarcus Aldridge, who came back from protocols, also looked good. Yeah, if they can't get anybody, Aldridge is probably the guy who I don't know, sucks up a lot of those fourth quarter minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The funny thing with Aldridge is he's like, can still score. Like, that shot is automatic still, but he is.
He looks slow on the defense.
Slow on the defenseman. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he's never been all that fleet-footed. That guy's a giant dude. He is. An underrated big in this league. Yeah. I don't think people realize. We've said it before. Like, if you're around him, you're like, oh my God, that guy is huge. But
yeah,
he gives it back a little bit on the defenseman.
That's right. But if they can only get him out there for maybe 10 minutes, sort of, you know, like in total, then maybe it doesn't cost them too much, but we'll see if they do address that coming up here before the trade deadline.
Let's talk Born Ready, though. Lance Stephenson, what a show there in the first quarter. His first game back in Indiana. He's played a couple games with the Pacers here already here on this 10-day hardship exception. But his first game in Indiana since 17-18, and he comes off the bench and scores 20 points. In the first quarter, he finished with 30, a high for his Indiana career. He scored 33 for another team, but this was amazing, and the place was actually going crazy, and it was fun. I had just talked about it the day before, like, God, I hate watching the Pacers play right now. It was the Knicks-Pacers game. I'm like, oh, well. But, man, it's a lot more fun when Lance Stephenson's strumming the guitar and is unconscious. He couldn't miss a shot.
Yeah, I thought he was done after he got to 14. Then he hit a three to make it 17, I think, and then a three right at the end of the quarter. And then, yeah, that was his last song of his set. He strummed off. And, he only had 10 the rest of the game. But for him to have his Pacer high yesterday, he didn't even start the game. Yeah. He came in at the 6:30.
6 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, halfway through the first and popped 20. That was perfect. It was the perfect opener. You know, Lance make you dance as the opener, and then the Nets were obviously the main attraction to close the game.
Yeah. Did he strum the guitar on his first make?
Like, oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, on the first one?
I don't know if it was the first one or not.
There was one that he just did one strum. Yeah. Like, he
just
I think it was maybe the one at the end of the quarter. I can't remember which one it was.
He shimmied hard at the end of the
quarter. But he did a shimmy, and then he did the tiniest little strum. Like, one strum. That was it. Just tuning the guitar, I guess.
He said as soon as he puts on that Pacers jersey, it gives him back his powers.
I believe it. I love it. Do you think he's going to stay with the Pacers? Like,
I mean, they could use him. It's like, you can't have a guy just pick him up off a 10-day and drop 30 off the bench. I mean, that's just how desperate they are for somebody else. I mean, so maybe he stays. He's been there twice. He's a third time. Like, Will Perdue going back to the Bulls.
Wow, I wasn't ready for a Will Perdue reference.
Keep him. That was the best moment of the Pacers season. Like, it was the most exciting that they've been, and like you're saying, the Garden was going crazy. Nobody calls it the Garden.
No,
Fieldhouse. Yeah.
Oh, it's called like confused. It's called like Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Is that
the
right?
Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
There's something in there.
There's a lot of opportunity in Indiana right now. Even Dwayne Washington Jr. is playing all right.
Yeah.
Kiefer Sykes is playing all right. There's shots to go around. Somebody's got to take him. Lance is happy to.
All right. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll play a little What You Got, because we got to talk about Lowry's ejection, some of the crazy finishes last night, DeMarcus Cousins getting waived by the Bucks. So lots more still to come. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to michelobultra.com/courtside to learn more.
Back with no dunks. Anything? Any news?
Terms apply.
If you're just joining us live right now on YouTube here, and you're part of the stream team, take a second, like the video, subscribe. It really helps us out. Let's get to a little What You Got.
What you got?
What you got?
What you got? First one. Man, I'm taking two things that are completely unrelated and jamming them into a question for you guys, okay? Perfect. Kyle Lowry ejected last night after he casually tossed the ball back to an official after a foul. He had picked up a tech earlier in the period. This is what triggered the automatic ejection. And then completely unrelated, The Bucks plan to waive center DeMarcus Cousins as they opt for roster flexibility ahead of the league-wide contract guarantee date on Friday. And this news broke immediately after Cousins went for like 15 and 10 in 20 minutes in a loss to the Raptors last night for Milwaukee. So, the what you got question for you guys, for everybody joining us in the stream team, for all the listeners of the podcast, what was more shocking? Lowry's ejection or the Bucks waiving DeMarcus Cousins? What you got?
The Bucks waving Cousins is pretty weird. He's played well offensively. He's hitting the glass, which is something they certainly need, but he doesn't move very well defensively. And if the Bucks are trying to keep some salary cap space open for the rest of the season with his guarantee date coming open, that makes a little bit of sense. Not to mention, DeMarcus Cousins can be a prickly presence around a team, so I wouldn't be completely surprised if he wore out his welcome and the team is just like, we can find another backup big guy somewhere out there. That being said, they will need to find another backup big guy, especially if Brooke Lopez isn't back soon.
Right.
So for me, the more shocking thing was Kyle Lowry's ejection, because why did he get ejected? Because the referee didn't catch the ball when he threw it back to him. Like, it didn't look like he put a ton of zip on it. It didn't look like Lowry said anything at the time he threw it.
No.
No.
Surely Lowry's chirping the guy. He's, you know, he had a technical earlier in the game, but at this specific time, it looked like just a simple toss over to the ref who botched the catch and gave him the toss. So, yeah, that was weird. Very weird stuff. But a lot of weird things were happening in Portland last night.
I don't think you can find any excuse for that referee. That referee just got mad. Mm. He didn't see the ball coming, even though it was a very light toss.
Yeah.
Hit him in the gut. Just a little bit of a little bit of a trigger. Just a little, I don't know. I'm not going to diagnose the guy, but a little aggressiveness for no reason. Zero reason.
Yeah.
I don't think it had anything to do with what Lowry said. It shouldn't, because he literally didn't say anything. While we're seeing this clip, did it happen? Did he say something minutes before? He's obviously said something after when he was ejected. I don't know what Duncan Robinson is saying. Maybe they had a thing going on. I guess that's possible.
What do you think?
Zero reasons for me.
Yeah. What do you think? Which
I believe it was a rookie referee too.
Yeah.
Not that that's an excuse. Look, people, sometimes players, when they're frustrated, they do zip the ball to the referee, okay? Sometimes. In this case, I don't think Lowry did it like we've seen in the past where, because it wasn't even the guy who called the foul. Sometimes you see it like when they throw it at the referee. But I think this referee interpreted that as Lowry sort of disrespecting, you know, shoving the ball and pretending he wasn't doing it with some sauce on it. That's the only reason. I don't think he was right. I think it was too quick a trigger, especially to get ejected for it. But again, a rookie referee maybe just feeling disrespected. Maybe that's just how he reacted. And as Tass said as well, sometimes throughout the game, there's a little bit of beef that you don't always see during the game. And maybe the referee
I still have to be able to give you the ball.
Yeah, I know. But at the same time as well, he didn't zip it, but I can just sort of see. I'm just saying.
What is he supposed to do? Like, put it down?
Just leave it.
You're making a tech for that. No, now you're mocking him. You come get it.
You can leave it as well. You can leave it like that. You don't have to do that. But
what's the opposite of a zip? A zip or a lollipop? A zip or a lob? Knew what you got. Zip or lob? Because I don't think that was a zip.
There's no zip on that.
There's a tiny amount of zip on
that. No, zero, zero, zero zip. It almost arcs. You can almost you can put an anal bead on that.
It was harsh. He didn't deserve it, but
like a second baseman throw to the first baseman.
It literally lobs.
There's zippish.
There's an arc. There's an arc. You can see it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Last year, I think it was, last season, I remember us debating whether J.J. Redick deserved to be ejected for something similar, I guess. Now, do you remember, he did a real, spinner. Yeah. He, put some crazy spin on the ball, threw it a little low, and the official didn't like that.
Yeah.
And that was his second technical, and he got ejected, if I remember correctly.
They had some planted beef from earlier in the game.
Yes, that's exactly right.
It was straight two possessions going back and forth. And so that was, sort of understandable.
Yeah, even at the time, we were like, come on, yeah. Like,
yeah, but there was some beef, so maybe we didn't see something here with the official.
Yeah, but I would even say Redick's throw, not that it had zip, but it was more like an FU throw.
Yeah, exactly.
Throwing spin on it, threw it at his legs.
Lowry threw
it
with his left hand. If you wanted to zip, he'd go righty. Yeah. I think the Cousins thing is definitely, it's odd, but I would probably be pretty positive if I was a Bucks fan. Maybe that means Brook Lopez is coming back sooner, or they know he's coming back sooner. That's obviously not a given. But yeah. The second thing is they're probably going to go after somebody else. And Cousins wasn't shooting the ball all that well from three-point land. Does that matter? I mean, Bobby Portis in his backup role last year as the backup big in the playoffs banged home threes. And you had to respect him. And Cousins, you don't really have to respect his three as much. So that's... I don't know. They're going to be doing something, and I think they're not done anyways. They're not going forward like this.
He gave them decent numbers off the bench in a limited role, and he played like 17 games for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Right, so he got a fair shake, I think. I think the Bucks had a good look at him, and they said, okay, yeah, he is giving us that, but sort of as Trey mentioned there as well, if you lock him up, then it's like, okay, then we are sort of stuck with him for the rest of the season. I think they're keeping their options open.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they can actually bring him back too if they choose to later on. So I think this is actually not a bad move here for the Bucks to be like, all right, we've seen what you can do. We're also just going to see what else is out there first before we lock into you.
And of course, other teams could be very interested in bringing Cousins.
I think he's done enough to get certainly attract interest from other teams. Right. I mean, he's a big guy, but the Nets, not super athletic as far as protecting the rim, but he's a physical presence. Mm-hmm. Perhaps even they could look at him.
We'll see. All right, our next one here. Kelly Oubre Jr. had 8 three-pointers in the fourth quarter last night. He tied an NBA record set in 2002 by Michael Redd for threes made in the fourth there. He was subbed out with 4 minutes left, too, because the Hornets were up, I think, 35 at that point. But not to be outdone, the Sixers' Danny Green racked up 0 points, 0 boards, 0 assists, 0 steals, and 0 blocks in last night's win over the Magic. His 24 minutes marked the most without recording a stat since good old Tony Snell in 2017, who I think played 28 minutes in that infamous game where you've seen that graphic.
Yes.
It's a classic meme of Tony Snell's line. So the question here, again, for everybody joining us and listening, more impressive stat, Oubre Jr.'s 8 three-pointers made in the fourth quarter or Danny Green's line?
Well, we mentioned the word streaky for a bunch of players yesterday. Kelly Oubre is a streaky guy.
Yeah.
He is a streaky guy. Yep. As we said on Pop and Packs, if you don't really know how to articulate your feelings about a guy, Trey said it, just call him streaky. Streaky. It's been said in the past. Was Anthony Peeler good? He was streaky.
Yeah.
And if you said it about a good player, like Lee mistakenly said it about Larry Bird, he didn't mean it. He threw a pen because he didn't want to say it, but it just came out in a take. Down. Hey, we're on TV. Dumb things have happened. You say someone's streaky. Now, he wasn't streaky enough for the Golden State Warriors last year. They released him. They said, we're not going to release isn't the right word. They let him go in free agency, and Charlotte grabbed him. He comes off the bench again like a Lance Stevenson scenario. I don't think it was a coincidence that we saw Lance Stevenson go off and Kelly Oubre go off same night doing the same things. It's similar type of streakiness, IMO. Mm-hmm. To me, the guy who's been around the league a long time, Danny Green, not being able to collect a rebound, that is a little more surprising. I know he plays on the perimeter, and he's playing a lot of three-point line. That's more surprising to me than Kelly Oubre going off, because we see these great games from Kelly Oubre. This was his career high in threes at 9, but we've seen 7 from him earlier this season. The guy can go off.
But 8 in a quarter?
In 7.5 minutes. Really?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is that more surprising than Danny Green going over?
It should be. It certainly should be.
I do think it is.
Because I think for a veteran like Green, I haven't even, troubled the scorer at all today. I've just got to go out and grab a rebound. I've just got to, give the ball to Seth Curry. I've got to just dump it into Joel. But you've got to do something just so you don't have this infamy. But for Kelly to do it with Eric Collins there on the call, why wouldn't James Borrego just say, go for 10, man? Why not?
Who cares? I am 100% with you.
It's called respect.
It's the unwritten rule.
Because at this point, again, it's a blowout, and it's like, 4.5 minutes is still in the NBA. If you're down by 25, you can still justify that as like, well, it's not over until basically the last 2 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
And again, with Eric Collins on the call, imagine Oubre hit the 10 for the quarter. That would be great.
It would
be a great moment.
Yeah, Clay has the all-time record for three-pointers made in a quarter.
Yes.
Now is the third quarter of that 2015 game. But Michael Redd, I said, has the record for the fourth quarter with 8 three-pointers made, and that's what Kelly tied last night.
Who cares about a 10-3?
I'll let you know.
No, but record for each quarter now?
Well, yes. No, I just didn't want people saying, what? Michael Redd doesn't have it. Klay Thompson has it. Well, yes. Again, this is the fourth quarter we're talking about. But okay, so you think it was Kelly Oubre?
Yes, I think that's what I went with.
Yeah. TK, what is how did I ask it? More impressive, I guess.
Interesting. For me, the most impressive stat last night, 26 points, 21 rebounds.
Oh, I knew you were going to do
11
this.
Assists for Nikola Jokic. JD! Just kidding. I didn't make it. My beef computer is occupied right now by virtual schooling.
Oh, no.
Yeah. There's been a lot of tragedies out there, including the fact that I can't make beefs in the morning. So I think this is actually the third Jokic beef that I owe, and there's a Rudy Gobert one after there. So we'll see how things transpire around here. The beefs will be back. But for me, I'm going Danny Green with the Cinco Cero. It's hard to go entire game without doing anything.
Yeah.
Just running. I mean, I know Danny Green is basically Zach Harper out there. 3-point line to 3-point line. But he's a streaky shooter.
Yeah,
you would think he would do something and accidentally make a shot, or like Lee's saying, just pass it to the corner and somebody else makes it, or the ball bounces out to you, you get a rebound. Any of those things could have happened. None of them did. That's why it's a legendary line. That's why we're still talking about Tony Snell 5 years later.
Yeah. I think it's the 12th time in NBA history that we've had this Danny Green / Tony Snell offer.
Yeah,
I'm shocked. I'm shocked that Danny Green, you know, it's such a different route to the NBA than Kelly Oubre. Second round pick, G League guy, barely hanging on, finally gets it with the Spurs, gets it going with the Spurs after his little rendezvous with the Cavs. You know, you'd think he'd impact the game a little bit and not be a Cinco Cero. What a great...
That's a good call.
That's a really good way to put it.
Can you... My research showed this, so...
Right.
I did it this morning. Who knows? I was still asleep. Can you name the last player to hit 8 threes in a quarter? First quarter, I'll give you that. He still plays.
Oh, Kevin Love.
Hey, look at this guy.
He only finished with like 30 points or something for the game. I remember that.
2016.
Yeah.
He had 8 threes in the first quarter.
Yeah.
I was looking at StatMuse, right? You can punch that in.
Yeah.
And there are not many people, of course, who have hit 8 threes or more, in Klay Thompson's case, in a quarter.
Let's go down the line.
But
who else?
Michael Redd.
But their research on StatMuse only went back to like 15, 16 or something like that. Like around when you could tell the quarters, I guess. It was very confusing. I was a little shocked that they didn't have it plugged into their computer system.
It's a lot of threes.
Maybe somebody's doing virtual schooling on their computer system.
Here's a good question from Emil Nielsen.
Sure.
Do you think a regular guy could check into an NBA game and get a rebound?
I think so, because because it can just clank off and just fall into your hands. I mean, that's the thing with a rebound.
Everybody's always saying, could you score in an NBA game? If there's ever a chance where a random person gets put out there, just try and grab a rebound. Right? And then cherry pick on the other side.
Yeah.
So nobody's playing defense.
Nobody's
playing defense on a guy going to get a rebound. I mean, you know, not everyone's boxed out every possession.
No. Your best bet is to just hang around the free throw line area.
Just
get a long one, be ready to go left or right, and hopefully.
And you could technically even just get that tip. If you're the first,
just tip it up.
If you're the first,
it's
going
to be tough for you to get a tip against 7-footers.
You never know. You just jump and it's like tap it. It's like, that's a rebound. Count that as a rebound.
All right. Final one here. I want to know Wednesday's Wilder ending, the Spurs Celtics game, which San Antonio ultimately won by 2, or the Rockets Wizards game, where Kevin Porter Jr. hit a monster 3 basically at the buzzer. There was a little bit of time left. Where do you go?
Well, the Rockets game, and Kevin Porter Jr. coming off a 1-game suspension to be able to have the ball in his hands and given the green light by Steven Silas to just do what he wants for that 24-second shot clock, sidestep, splash. Mm-hmm. And then after the game, again, after a 1-game suspension where he left the arena, which caused him to get that 1-game suspension, embraced by Steven Silas, embraced by John Lucas, the assistant coach who he had the spat with at halftime. It was a good scene for them. And we were all wondering what's going on with the Rockets. I figured that they had a little bit more veteran leadership, or whatever the word is, that that hasn't existed in the past there, but exists with Steven Silas at the very least, getting those guys together. And I think it proved that they do have something you know, a little bit more put together than people thought 2 days ago. So that was more surprising than the Spurs game for me.
Oh, that last 2.5 minutes of Boston San Antonio.
It was crazy.
It was ugly.
Yeah.
Ugly. Bad shots. I guess good defense, actually, from both teams. DeJounte Murray. There was that weird sort of Jaylen Brown went up and there was caught a jump ball when it should be a travel because he didn't sort of get clean possession. I know that's one of those debates that's out there at the moment. And then Jaylen Brown gets an incredible steal that goes also into a jump ball. I believe it was there Derek White.
That was a crazy steal. Exactly. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Because he popped it out of Derek White.
Yeah.
And then it looks like Derek White's going to get it again, but then he hits the ground.
Yeah.
Smart hits the ground.
Yeah.
And then they got tied up.
And then, the Spurs had the ball with 5.5 seconds to go. They couldn't get it in. Derek White couldn't get it in. They call a timeout. And they bring in Jock Landale. And
why?
Inbounding specialist.
Why? What are you doing?
I don't understand that one. But then he almost gets another 5 second violation. Yep. Instead, worse than that, he throws it straight to Jaylen Brown.
Straight to him.
Jaylen Brown is kind of like, I can't. He almost like, what? And he goes sort of down. It's not a straight line drive, but he's got some defenders there. He goes up. Now, he misses the layup. Jock Landale actually goaltends on that. He touches the rim. Yeah, he touches the rim and his hand goes up. He could have been called for a goaltend. He wasn't. I guess the refs were just expecting, like, it's going to go in. It would have only tied the game anyway there for the Boston Celtics, but it doesn't. Marcus Smart kind of gets it and bobbles it as well. And the Spurs hang on. Ah, man, that was
It sounds like you need a cigarette.
Oh, yeah. Well, because, you know, you sort of, there's so many games on there last night. You're watching that one. And then you look back and you're like, oh, my God. And there was also a delay when they went to check who the ball went off, I believe it was. Jaylen Brown was called. Jaylen Brown was called for an offensive foul. They challenged it. It took them 15 minutes to not overturn the call. I have no idea. Even on the broadcast there, Mike Gorman's like, they're not going to overturn this. You know, the homer on the call is like, they're not going to overturn it. Why'd you even challenge in the first place? They didn't. And then the Spurs hang on. DeJounte Murray did come back in that game, of course. He'd been out. So crazy. And it really just also highlighted for me how important and how desperate the Celtics are for another creator, a point guard. Schroeder and Marcus Smart are their sort of point guards right now. Tatum just tried to go a bit of one-on-one. Brown went to try to go for a bit of one. There's just no more movement. There's no one sort of to help get them into a set. That's, I think, a real problem the Celtics need to address.
Wilder ending, Trey. Take us home. What you got here between the Spurs-Celtics game and then the Rockets-Wizards?
I'm with Lee. I think Spurs-Celtics was crazier, even if you're just looking at the last two plays. The Landale turnover and the Brown miss are both like, what is going on? Yeah. This is an NBA game that we're watching here. As for Rockets versus Wizards, not surprising for the Wizards. Their last three games, they lost to DeRozan on the buzzer beater. They had that crazy clutch coups game against the Hornets, and then they lost to Kevin Porter Jr.'s step back three as well. So if you want a game that's going to come down to the last possession, watch the Wizards right now.
All right, well, let's hear from the stream team in regards to all three of those what you got questions. Let us know in the comments below. Let us know in the stream team right now. I'm sure you guys are. And we're going to take one more break. When we come back, you got tweet of the night?
I do.
We got pick 'em results, and we'll wrap this baby up. Don't go anywhere.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
This was an easy one. If you show up at a basketball game as a fan and you're wearing no Dunks gear and you get on the Jumbotron, you're getting tweeted tonight. Somebody filmed Yusef Thiebe in his no Dunks gear, in his sweater, rocking out.
Oh, baby. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, pop it out. Nice.
At the Celtics game, looking great. perfect size on that sweater.
Well, it's riding up a little bit, yeah, there, but he's busting the moves.
I say perfect size because I'm always confused as to what size to get with a hoodie too.
Do you go with
your regular size, and that's bound to happen. That's what I do.
Yeah, but I don't want a hoodie to be too big. Because then it starts weighing me down. I can't walk. But you're right. You run into the issue like, oh, is it too short or too tight? Yeah, like that. I mean, I don't have that problem with breaking tea. Look at that. It's like literally perfect.
I didn't see Yusuf Thieb really with an issue. It was also a low angle camera.
He's dancing. He's doing.
Was that a?
You can tuck your shirt.
I love that he's popping it though.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He got on the Jumbotron. Nice purple
right
there.
That looks good in that crowd. Yeah, especially when you're in a sea of green, I guess.
And
Beantown boys.
It pains me to say this, but there wasn't just one fan of No Dunks at the Celtics game. Because
why does it pain you?
It pains me because this gentleman is a little desperate for attention because he and listen, we love the guy, but he also he tweeted this gentleman Mr. Cheeve.
His name
is Mr. Cheeve. I say he's desperate for attention because he tweeted a few different people. He tweeted Lee saying the free throw line is the loneliest place in the game or whatever he said because he got on the court and he got to shoot a free throw. He tweeted me when he hit a mid-range jumper, and he tweeted me, "Write the story when the ball is in the air." Tasmellis. So you know, he wanted to get on, and now we're showing him.
Oh, it's a nice.
That's beautiful.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I mean,
good form, Cheeve.
Yeah. Good form. Would you critique it at all?
Oh, I think it was great. He lined the ball up. He had the mechanics there. He bent the knees. It went straight in.
I could have used a little more arc, but
sure.
I couldn't also tell from the angle.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to get really picky, sure. But when it goes in like that, I mean, it didn't bounce and catch the rim. It went in clean. So.
Also, next time when you splash a free throw like that and you're wearing a hat like that, please tip it. You know, please take it off. Yeah. Doff it. Yeah. If you will.
Does he have a credential? What's that?
Yeah,
on the back?
That must be on the floor that way, right?
Yeah.
Good for
Cheeve. Yeah, or some sort of celebration. know.
What? What?
He's got to do that.
It's just a free throw.
It's pressure. It's still pressure there. You only get one usually in that situation.
Shot. See, that's what I want to know. He also hit a mid ranger and he said, write the story when the ball is in the air. How many shots did he get?
Well, let's Cheeve.
I want to know if
man.
Yeah,
I think. I saw Cheeve was in the stream team earlier. I see Yusuf is there as well.
Oh,
the Beantown boys
both
are showing out.
Nice.
You know, they went out with their No Dunks gear. So you got to hop in the stream team to see if it's going to get played. But I mean, Cheeve 2 for 2 according to the internet.
Yeah.
That's a good luck hat.
Maybe he's Ben Simmons out there. You know, he's only putting up his mates. Who knows?
Oh, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I want to see Cheeve's practice footage.
Yeah.
I want to see Ben Simmons in Cheeve's hat.
You think if Ben Simmons wore Cheeve's hat during a game, he would be a good shooter?
Yeah.
Maybe.
100%.
Only one way to find out.
Luck of the Irish, maybe. Get him on the Celtics.
Shooting achieved.
Awesome. All right. Great tweet of the night there, Tass. I guess basically 2 for 1 deal in a way.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you were going to say
something
else.
Yeah, I was. Then I stopped myself.
Yeah.
Pick of results from last night brought to you by BetMGM. It was the Hawks in Sacramento to play the Kings. Sacramento was favored by 1.5. No Trae Young in this one, but in the end, it didn't matter because of your favorite player in the NBA, Kevin
Huerta.
So the Hawks got it done in the end. Nice victory for Tass. You go to 2-1. Trey gets his first W of January. You're 1-2. And Lee and I, we had Sacramento, and Fox was trying his damn best. I thought we were going to do it again. I thought we were going 3-0, but we're 2-1.
But for the Kings, I mean, Trae Young was a late scratch in this game. It's a team that doesn't have a great defense. The Kings, well, sure, 3-4 nights. Okay.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get a better chance to get, you know, a win against a team that is also struggling. But anyway, it's the Kings, so, you know.
Lesson learned.
Yeah.
The Hawks did it by committee, as Kevin Huerter said after the game.
Yeah.
And they loved it.
Okay, so we got three guys that are 2-1, and Trey's right there at 1-2. What's tonight's game?
Tonight's game is two teams that nobody can really get a feel on. The Boston Celtics visiting the New York Knicks. Two Eastern Conference teams. Most people thought would be a little higher in the standings. I'd say a lot of people did.
Yep.
And they're going up against each other. Who the heck knows what's going to happen? That's why Lee and I are taking the Celtics, who are on a back-to-back, as we talked about, against the San Antonio Spurs. A hectic one. Well, Trey, Skeets are taking the Knicks after a good performance against the Indiana Pacers on Tuesday night. We're a little crazy, Lee and I, but why do you think they're going to come back, Lee? And win?
Honestly, yeah.
This one's tough.
Yeah, point and a half there. So the Celtics are favorite going in. This is the bing bong game, isn't it?
Nice.
First game of the season for these two teams anyway. So will we see another double overtime game? It was a great game here. Knicks, just as I've said a lot, struggle at home. So...
yeah, I took the Celtics because it's time for them to get back to 500. Because I think they're a 500 squad. That's why I took them.
I like the Knicks, obviously, with the pick, but I'm a little worried after seeing that graphic. And you see the Celtics mascot wearing a Chief-like hat.
I know.
Yeah, I saw you too. You're like, oh.
I'm now thinking I should have went Celtics.
Oh, boy.
Just because it was such a big Beantown boys night last night. But, I mean, Beantown versus Bing Bong, it's a tough call. What do you guys think, maybe for the pick'em payoff this month, you have to squeeze yourself through a toilet seat cover? Whoever loses.
I mean, I'm game.
Yeah, I think you'd be the only one who could do it.
Yeah, that was an
insane halftime show in Portland.
Yeah.
Contortionists are weird.
Yes.
But I've only ever seen a sexy contortionist, you know, like very tight clothing.
Yeah.
Like... mystical music. Shaved heads.
This was like a comedy.
This was like Amir Blumenfeld deciding to be a contortionist. He was like ripping his clothes off. At one point he went through a headband. I can't believe I watched 5 minutes of a guy putting himself through a toilet seat cover and a tennis racket.
Yeah, it's up on the NBA, official NBA YouTube page if you want to watch the Blazers halftime act last night.
But I thought of that infamous video in our office, whatever those guys were called, in Area 21 with Kevin Garnett. I mean, the broken bones guys.
They could, like, bend over backwards.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Garnett loving it.
Oh.
Through a toilet seat. Whoa. I mean, is it hard to get through a toilet seat? Like, do you just... I don't know.
Like, I'm looking at you going,
I don't know.
It's all shoulders. Yeah.
It's all shoulders.
Yeah,
I don't feel honestly like I'm that broad from pit to side of neck. I think I can go over the top here. JD, you mind if we pop a cover off real quick?
Let's do it.
All right, it's in the running. I owe 3 pick and payoffs still. I think we're basically locked one in for next week. I won't say what it is, and then we'll get to a couple more. You owe one, so maybe we'll do the toilet seat cover.
Sure. I thought Trey was going to ask for like a virtual one, like pop it up on the computer. Trey just tried to.
Jeez. We gotta get that.
I don't think JD's there.
Not yet.
All right, guys. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok @NoDunksInc. Grab yourself an Athletic subscription. Is it still the Athletic subscription? Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks. Get yourself one of those. If you're a Top Shot hot boy or girl, join TK and I later today. That's still the plan, right? We're going to pop some packs.
What time? What time you want to do it?
I mean, 2 or 3. What works better for you?
3.
Okay, yeah. 3 p.m. Eastern on our YouTube page. We'll pop some packs, give away some moments if you're into the Top Shot. So join us then. And tomorrow, drop podcast because it's the end of the week. We're going to pick our all-star teams.
Mm.
All right, first pass. Do you want to lead us?
Sure.
Okay, you lead us. We'll all have our teams too, and then we can like see where we agree or disagree and get into some debates. Sounds good?
Sure. Yeah, both conferences. No, that's fine. I can do it if you want. I do. You want to just share it around?
Oh, you mean do you do one conference?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Who wants to do the what conference you want?
East. I'll take the East. I don't.
Good pick.
That's the East side of the table. West side of that table.
Oh, I don't mind that. You guys have to come up
East
with your
West.
Okay, you guys are in charge of the West. We're in charge of the East. But right. We'll debate all of our picks on tomorrow's Drop podcast live at 10 a.m. Eastern here on YouTube. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, head to theathletic.com. A great social media site. It's too popular to be a media site. TheAthletic.com/NoDunks to get your subscription.
Embrace the day, people.